Welcome to Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle, coming up on the programme this week.
I felt, you know, I was managing things, but it was actually, it was going the other way. And then I got injured, and then the bulimia came back with a vengeance.
You're going to start up at Ben Nevis, and then climb up Ben Nevis, come back down, walk and run to Scarfell. Climb up and down that, and then again on foot, get across to North Wales.
Like anything, I think the plan will change. You've just got to start and keep on going and adapt as you go. But roughly, yeah, it will just be people hopefully coming out and giving me a cheer. Will be fantastic.
And I'll be reminding you how you can make connections with mental health organisations within your community. It's Mental Health Monday.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Tackling the stigma.
Okay, brilliant guest once again on Mental Health Monday this week. A guy who actually appeared on the programme, and I was scrolling back to find out when. And it took us all the way back to 2017. Back in 2017, he was about to undertake a challenge to climb, let me get this right, to the top of the highest peaks of all the individual counties in England, something that he achieved, and he's going to do something else. In fact, this Friday, he embarks on a world record attempt on something which you may be familiar with, the Three Peaks Challenge. Welcome back to Mental Health Monday, Alex Staniforth. Alex, how are you, sir?
Yeah, hi there, Mick. Yes, I'm good, thanks. You know, coming through the recent months that we've had, and now it's almost time to get back into another crazy challenge. So it feels a very long time.
Episode 10 of Mental Health Monday was you sharing your stories, and I look back and I was scrolling down and down and down because we're up to episode 167 now, and I was thinking it must have been more recent than this, and it was the start of 2017. Essentially, and you shared your journey of where you'd come. You were 21 years of age at the time, the Everest attempts, and this challenge you were going to do. Just give us an update, really, on the first challenge you were doing, the county peaks.
Yeah, so it was just before I set off on that challenge, which was Climb the UK, I called it, climbing to the highest points of all counties in the UK, which is about 5,000 miles in just 72 days, fundraising for Young Minds, the mental health charity. And I guess that was really the start of my journey as a mental health advocate, talking about my story. And I remember, I think that episode, I was still very much reserved about that, probably didn't speak about it in as much detail or openness or comfort as I do now. And back then, you know, I had that challenge, which was a success. And it really springboarded the message on mental health and, you know, and the fundraising to a new level for me. It raised about £25,000. I wrote my second book, which came out last year, Another Peak. So that took up nearly a year just to get that together, really. And that was telling the peaks and the troughs of the journey and going into the mental health, the mental health challenges more than ever before. So that came out last year. Whilst writing that, I couldn't go off and do a big challenge. I focused on running marathons for a while. Then had another kind of mental health blip during that process when I got injured. Lots of since then, a lot of speaking, a lot of writing, another marathon. I got back to training after the injury. I moved to South Lakes in Kendal to be near the mountains, and a lot of speaking and a lot of sharing stories, and started a new project, Mind Over Mountains, which I talk about. But one thing that's been missing is a big challenge. So this was meant to start in May, and obviously it couldn't happen in May. So 3 months later, about to get back out there again, really.
Absolutely.
Been a bit busy.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Three Peaks run and obviously the Mind Over Mountains charity, which you're in the process of setting up as well. I always think it's interesting when people come back on Mental Health Monday, because those people who have been long-term listeners, they get the opportunity to hear the stories and the continuation of the stories, because I think it would be a false sort of thing to do on the programme to get somebody on and go, look, this person had some issues, now they've dealt with those issues and everything's fine with the world. I think getting people back on and catching up over, you know, the span of time as it has been, gives people a sense that actually there is a journey. You hinted at it there, you know, that have been blips along the journey as well. Do you find that getting out there in the way that you have done has made that journey easier? Have you found the conversations easier as a result of having much wider conversations with the people you've gone on these challenges with and the conversations that you've had with people as a result of being who you are and what you've done?
Really good question. And I think it's a really good point that we're still on that journey. And I think with I think with any physical or mental health challenge, it's never really going to be a case of, oh, you know, you're fixed, you know, and you go and do this and do that. There's always going to be blips and peaks and troughs, as I say, on the journey. And in some ways, my mental health journey took a very different direction, about a year later. And, those challenges have very much come to the surface again, just in the last few weeks after lockdown, before the challenge. And, you know, you think you've made progress, and I have, but you just realise that actually these things become very much a part of our everyday lives. And so I think, like anything with time, the more we talk about it, the more we engage in it, the easier it becomes. You know, I remember the first time I spoke in public around having an eating disorder as a man, and it just felt really uncomfortable. I seized up, and you could tell the room was a bit uncomfortable. And nowadays, I just talk about it openly, as if I'm, you know, talking about, you know, what I'm having for tea or the rain outside. And it feels a lot more natural now. But it's like anything; it's about acceptance. It takes time, and I think doing that challenge gave me the platform to put it out there. And I think once you put it out there, there's almost no looking back. But you realise that by sharing those stories, having those conversations during the challenge, and then afterwards as a result, just makes it more normal. And you realise the difference it can make to other people by helping them to open up. You have more of an incentive to talk about it, to share your story. And I've just been doing that more and more since. So talking about it is definitely easier with time, but there's still a lot of stigma around it. There's still a lot of misunderstanding. There's still a big lack of support available. It's still very much an ongoing challenge.
What's that balance like between you feeling awkward talking about an eating disorder in a room full of people who feel awkward hearing about that versus you being in a room talking about an eating disorder but feeling comfortable, but still being in a room maybe with people who don't really know too much about it, may feel potentially awkward, but presumably feel more at ease when they hear you speak in a more comfortable manner about what you've been going through?
Good question, because my day job, you know, is a motivational speaker. So I'm regularly speaking to businesses and schools and organisations. And for a long time, I never mentioned mental health because I was more talking about resilience and overcoming adversity and motivation. And there was never really a place or a need for this. But I realised the importance of speaking about it, as well as Everest and the other challenges, because it's a very relevant topic that it's a big issue in a lot of businesses, in a lot of schools, and in all our everyday lives. And I think it's about feeling comfortable in it yourself, because there's a general rule where, you know, if you wouldn't feel comfortable talking about it in a room with all friends, it's probably a bit too much. You know, you've got to have that vulnerability, but not go too far. There is a careful balance. And I think I have made the mistake. I have got the balance wrong quite a few times. But equally, I think it's an important message. I think part of me thinks that I don't really care. I just need to say it. I need to get it out there. But there is a way of doing it properly, and that was the way you land the message without making yourself feel uncomfortable. Because I think if you feel uncomfortable or nervous, then the audience are going to feel the same way. It's inevitable. They pick up on your vibe. But then again, you've also got to balance it, that it may make some people a bit uncomfortable at the same time. One or two that might be affected, it could be life-changing for them. So it's just knowing the right time and opportunity. But there is still a lot of kind of stigma attached. And I think the only way to tackle that is by just hitting it in the headlights, really.
I was going to say, because presumably if you're doing motivational speaking and you're talking about, you know, the attempts at Everest, people can go back and listen, by the way, to the first time you're on, to hear some of those stories of the earthquake and being trapped up there and that. When you then talk about something like bulimia, is there like a sharp intake of breath? Do you sense that in the room, that some people are going, oh, this conversation's gone on an angle I wasn't anticipated? This is Alex, the hero adventurer who's, you know, taken on the world's highest mountain. Now he's talking about something that's going on inside his own head.
It's a really interesting dynamic. And I think that's kind of the key part of the message, is to show that the adventure arena and sporting world has this kind of perception of strength and, you know, masculinity and being superhuman and, you know, nothing affects us. But I think that's why it has an impact, because it's knowing that the people that we perceive to be, you know, super mentally resilient and tough and, you know, strong, can still have the same everyday challenges that we all have, and that mental illness isn't a sign of weakness, because it can affect, you know, all of us. I mean, there was a piece I read during lockdown about Michael Phelps was really struggling. You know, this is an Olympian who's won however, you know, more gold medals than I've done park runs, you know. And it's that helping to break down the stigma that it's okay to struggle. But there is a bit of a probably a surprise element. And I think that kind of is what gets the message across, that, you know, mental illness isn't a barrier to what we can achieve or things we can overcome, and it can still affect, it's like it can, you know, it can affect all of us. Because it's still, I'd say that overcoming that challenge has probably been harder than Everest and everything else, because there's so much more in your control. You know, we need food to survive. We don't need to climb Everest.
In terms of that management that you have you found the passage of times has made it easier to deal with? Have you found coping strategies that maybe you didn't have when we last spoke?
Yeah, I mean, it's come a long way. I realised for a long time I just kind of learned to distract myself, and it was always there. There was a lot of unhelpful beliefs, and when everything was okay, when there was a challenge, when there was focus, when there was purpose, it kind of was a lot quieter, and it didn't really bother me that much, apart from the occasional blip. And I was, you know, able to avoid any episodes, you know, or binge eating or anything by just avoiding certain kind of situations, which isn't really dealing with it, it's avoidance. But then, ironically, I mean, during that challenge, which was all about mental health, I lost so much weight, not intentionally, just from not being able to fuel up for, you know, day after day of 100-mile bike rides and the like. And that kind of changed the view of my image and behaviours around food in kind of a negative way, really. And I never really got back to the kind of weight I was. And the following year, I focused on marathon training and kind of elite performance, trying to get faster. I mean, I did break my PBs across all distances. I ran, you know, my two fastest marathons that year, and that was my little kind of mini challenge in the meantime. But while that was going on, I didn't realise that, again, I was still under fueling and getting lighter and lighter and lighter. And I felt, you know, I was managing things, but it was going the other way. And then I got injured, and then, you know, the bulimia came back with a vengeance. I then kind of tipped to the other end of the spectrum. I was very, very, you know, unhealthy and underweight, which ironically is what caused the injury in the first place, you know, combined with all the mileage I was doing. I had probably my lowest few months that I'd really ever had, well before climbing UK. That was when I realized I needed to go kind of back for help. In the past, it never had done anything, and it kind of sorted itself out as I saw it. And that's when I got more serious, you know, help on the NHS sort of last year, and started to recover, you know, and actually get proper therapy. And you know, since having that treatment, the last sort of 9 to 10 months, I've barely had any episodes as such. You know, I've made massive, massive progress. But then again, when I thought everything was okay, my coping mechanisms are still very much based on running or the outdoors. Maybe I'm not so much partaking in the, you know, in the bulimic behaviours anymore, but my life is still very much controlled by food.
Was that something you were able to bring up when you spoke to a professional and said, look, this is one element of the issue, but also this other thing is the big part of who I am now and what I do, yeah, and actually what you intend to do for the future. I don't think they'd ever say, right, never go running, jogging, cycling ever again, but presumably they actively encourage you to think about that relationship and how it would work for a sustainable period of time.
And it's really dangerous, because I think there's a lot of athletes in the same mindset where, ironically, you know, our bodies are our vehicle to do the things that we love doing. But then when they break down, that's when things hit the fan, you know. And yeah, it got to the point when it was quite, you know, an intense, you know, going every week for therapy and gaining the weight and having a very different approach than I'd ever tried before. And that regular support, that therapy really worked for me, you know, leaps and bounds, really. But they did say, you know, I'm either going to have to increase my intake of food or I'm going to have to cut down on training. I said, well, you can't do that, you know. And I think what really change things was having this kind of, well, this reason to change, you know, when I realized just physically how much I was depriving myself and that I'd been running all year, you know, moving up to the lakes. I was loving running in the hills and the fells, and that was my passion. But I wasn't performing very well. I wasn't racing very well. And I had this, I had a really kind of bad episode. I was working away in Bristol and I just felt this kind of exhaustion where it gets to the point where your whole mind and day is dominated by food. You know, you spend hours and hours deliberating what you're going to have for dinner and what you're going to do this. And, you know, when I'd be working away somewhere, I'd be focusing more on the food and the lunch buffet rather than what I'm there to do. And it gets to that level of obsession that you just cannot function properly. And I remember just going to like a buffet restaurant and, you know, actually realizing just how much I'd been really kind of over controlling my food. And that weekend I won a 10K race, and it was that kind of light bulb moment came on that I put two and two together. So I think you kind of need a moment like that, and sometimes it takes years for it to come out of the blue. And that was when the progress really went. So to go back to your original question in terms of coping mechanisms, I think it's just learning to understand what's driving it really and being able to intervene with that. But to kind of break all habits using a therapy approach and to realize that actually the bulimia wasn't serving any purpose. It was actually making me feel so much worse. You know, it's very much a control mechanism. Some people may turn to alcohol or may turn to smoking or the like. And food's the same way. The challenge is that we need food to survive. So I think that was it really. And during lockdown again, I thought that was going to be really challenging because, you know, I live on my own. I've had to obviously get food in for a week at a time. Normally I'd only do a day at a time because I'd be at risk of having too much in, but I've had to challenge myself and I've coped fine. So I think it's the same coping mechanism. It's just how you think about it all.
We've got Alex Steinforth with us sharing his journey once again on Mental Health Monday. Let's talk about your challenge. Now, you're setting off on Friday. Now, this is quite something. People will have heard of the Three Peaks Challenge, the highest points in England, Scotland and Wales. Some people will have done it. Some people will have sponsored people for it as well. We're talking Scarfell, Ben Nevis and Snowdon. You're going to do all three, as people tend to do for the Three Peaks Challenge, but you're doing it as the Three Peaks Run. You're not going to do Snowdon, then jump in a car and drive up to the Lake District. You're going to start up at Ben Nevis and then climb up Ben Nevis, come back down, and then walk and run to Scarfell. Oh, yeah. Climb up and down that, and then again on foot, get across to North Wales. There's a world record on this one, just over 9 days, is that right?
I mean, yeah, it's not so much a kind of a world record, but it's definitely, you know, the fastest known time moment is 9 days, 11 hours. So I will be trying to get under that. In any way I can, which is about 50 miles a day on average, or 440 miles in total.
Wow.
First time I did the Three Peaks, so, you know, I was 16, it was nearly 10 years ago, and I did that in the car, you know, that was hard enough. But yeah, this is pushing the boat out, and I think for me, after the months we've had, our mental health has been affected more than ever before. I've been very, very lucky here, you know, I've been okay, but I know a lot of people haven't had the ability to get outside, stay active, they've lost loved ones. And I remember Boris saying, you know, it's time to keep people apart. And I was in the gym at the time, I was training for this challenge when that came on, and then the gym closed the next day. And I remember those words, and I think 3 months later now, it's about actually bringing people back together, you know, and the challenge is not just the personal challenge to prove, you know, there's no barriers to mental health, but actually to help other people as well.
It's an incredible endeavor and really sort of a difficult thing to do first and foremost. Intense as well. What sort of support team and network will you have around you? Will you have certain people who do certain parts of the journey with you?
It's quite laid back, and I don't say that in a disorganized way. I've always liked to kind of do my own thing and just do it as a bit of a solo attempt, but like Climbing UK, I mean, I've realised that having that support along the way is kind of why I'm doing challenges close to home rather than going to Everest and going to the big peaks now, because there's so much on our home soil. And I think we've realised that during lockdown, just how lucky we are. So I've got a couple of friends joining me for the first 3 days, and it's not so much a dedicated support vehicle. You know, I did want to go self-supporter, so I'm carrying everything. I will be carrying a lot of my own kit, a lot of stages, but the first 3 days in Scotland are going to be really tough. I mean, there's about 10,000 feet of climbing, which is a third of Everest, just on the first day at 50 miles. So having a pack on with extra weight really makes a difference. So where, you know, where available, I will have people helping me kind of carry a big kit, but really I'm trying to be as self-sufficient as I can. I'm staying in, you know, in B&Bs and youth hostels along the way. And that really was the barrier with lockdown, is that wasn't open. So now we've got the green light. That's kind of it. But like anything, I think the plan will change. You've just got to start and keep on going and adapt as you go. But roughly, yeah, it will just be people hopefully coming out and giving me a cheer. Will be fantastic.
But you'll, along that journey as well, you'll have, you know, Ben Nevis. Then presumably you'll come down like the side of, and I don't know the specific route you've got, but like you'll then see the incredible sites around Loch Lomond. You'll then have urban centres like Glasgow, then huge open expanses through North Lancashire before you get into the Lake District. So actually, although the mountains are very much at the heart of the challenge, the three peaks run, what you'll witness will be all aspects, really, of life in the UK.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, I cycled the Three Peaks about 5 years ago, and that was a brilliant journey. And I think running has always been my thing. I've always loved running, and this is why I wanted to do it as a challenge. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the sights and scenery and then the isolation. I mean, saying that, we've had enough isolation over the recent months. But I think hopefully it just gives people something positive to focus on when we've had all this really bad, overwhelming news, and still have. But yeah, you're going to have the highs and the lows, quite literally. And then coming into North Wales, obviously through the lakes, Scafell Pike, and then finishing at the foot of Snowdon, hopefully 9 days later.
No, absolutely, absolutely. I was lucky enough to get over to the lakes myself just a couple of weekends ago. Went over to Grisdale Forest Park, which is, I think it's a forestry commission site. Okay. But one of those places whereby when I get there, I feel like I breathe a little deeper and a little slower. And whenever I leave the Lake District, there's a bit where you drop over, heading away from Windermere, towards where you are actually in Kendal, and you can't see the lake anymore. And there's always a little thing in the back of my mind which says, make sure you come back here sooner rather than later. And the next time when I'm arriving, I just feel like a sense of like a load is just sort of disappearing off me. And I don't know if that's like a psychological thing or if it's built in something sort of within your sort of the humanity that we're built to be in these sort of open spaces and outdoor spaces. But when you earn those, you know, those peaks, and when you earn those summits for a bit of a sandwich and a coffee break and a bar of chocolate, if you want to do that, or whatever it is that you do at those moments, you really do feel like, this is it. To me, that's what life should feel like, those moments, which don't really cost that much. Bar the car park, you know, and you get your flask of drink or whatever it is to get yourself up there. You get all weathers coming at you as well. And as long as you can get yourself down sheltered in a nice little spot with a view, absolutely. That's the dream, isn't it?
It is. And those moments are, I think, are why the outdoors is so powerful for our mental health as well. And I think that's why since things opened up again, we've had so many people coming up to the lakes, you know, and I felt very grateful to have it on my doorstep during training. You know, during those glorious warm days of lockdown, I was getting the miles in and just felt incredibly grateful. And that for me was how I coped. Those moments, I think outdoors, they give us hope. They remind us of, you know, things are going to get better again. They give us that escape that we need. And that's why, again, the real driver behind this challenge, you know, is our charity Mind Over Mountains. And that's why the actual work of the charity is about helping people to restore their mental health through outdoor experiences like those that we just actually talked about, because for me the outdoors and being active has been the most powerful medication, the most powerful antidepressant that I've tried, and I think it's the most powerful tool we have, especially after everything we've just been through. And for the people that have been most affected, we want to provide those experiences, those opportunities for people to safely get back outside again. And yeah, I think it can be life-changing.
Yeah, it's a bit like when you glance out to sea and you got a really nice sea view and you can't really see like urban developments or like coastal towns or anything like that. You're looking at something, you're thinking, well, this view hasn't really changed. at any point for like a thousand years. There's a great bit in the Lake District, if anyone knows it, just above Ambleside, Luffrigg, and you look across to the Horseshoe, and I mean, barring changes in farming practices, you think, well, this view is the same view that Wordsworth saw when he was, you know, writing his poetry. This view is the same view that everyone who's been on this spot has seen for a thousand years. And it's probably the same view that everybody will see for the next thousand years. And there's something about that to me that just sort of, it, rather than make you sort of existentially go, whoa, what on earth am I doing here? And, you know, what's the meaning of life? To me, it settles me down and thinks, well, that's fine. This is all here. This is fine. I'm here and I'm enjoying this particular moment and I'll enjoy it again. But tomorrow somebody else will enjoy this moment and it's not going away. And even if there's a pandemic or even if there's a global financial crash, this will still be here and it'll still look like this and will do whether you're 18 or whether you're 80.
Yeah. And those moments I think are magical. You know, it is literally mountain medicine, as I call it. And, you know, it's Mind of Mountains is about trying to create those opportunities for people that don't necessarily get to go to the lakes or get to have these places on their doorstep. And, you know, because of COVID, we had to cancel our first events, because normally what we do is we're more than just a hill walking. You know, we combine it with, you know, one-to-one support, you know, in coaching and mindfulness and counselling, and then have an inspirational speaker just to have that full, you know, holistic support. So people kind of are questioning why they're there, what's next, and, you know, what challenges are they facing. And it's amazing how transformational that can be. But obviously we had to cancel it, which is really hard when people need our help most. You know, all the stats around mental health recently have been quite terrifying. But again, you know, with a name like that, we had to find a way or make one. And we've just done two one-day events in the lakes and the peaks where we had small groups, and we did all the coaching was done, you know, online instead. You know, I know we've all been kind of zoomed out recently, but even that's worked. And it's been amazing just how people have gained so much from just being able to reconnect with people and just smile and enjoy those days out. So hopefully, you know, if I can raise over £10,000, then I can make as many more of these possible.
Absolutely. That's the challenge, to raise the £10,000, as well as the challenge of doing the three peaks in less than 9 days on foot. That's arguably a bigger challenge. Mind Over Mountains is the name of Alex's new charity, which will work and use those spaces that we've just talked about there to get people together to experience those sorts of walks. And I guess as well, Alex, for many people, change their environments. You know, if you've been part of, you know, maybe an urban environment without a great deal of outdoor space, put lockdown to one side. You know, people's lives are busy. Just to get them away from whichever environment they find themselves in and place them in, you know, that sort of mountain environment. That, I think, it almost gives the body a little bit of a shock anyway, doesn't it? To say there's something else out there. There's something beyond the traffic jams and the car parks and the office.
Yeah. And last Saturday in the Peak District, you know, because we're using smaller groups than normal, because of course, you know, all restrictions, it was quite easy to get that. And at one point we just had a moment of silence. We just froze and we just stayed still. And how often do we get the chance to listen to real silence and escape from social media and technology? And it's good for the soul, you know, but it's so rare. And we're trying to give people the skills and the chance to do more of that. Especially after everything, I think it's key.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually in the Peak District on last Saturday. In fact, I was in Buxton. There you go. I could have, we wouldn't have been far away.
From Castleton, so not too far.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. So it's an incredible challenge you're embarking on. Mind Over Mountains is the name of the charity. The Three Peaks run is up and about from this Friday, and then as long as it takes, hopefully less than 9 days, 11 hours. There's a givi.com fundraising page for this one. That's give with the letter Y, givi.com /3 Peaks Run. That's Three Peaks Run, and you'll get straight on there. I've just typed it in myself, and it comes up first time. givi.com/3PeaksRun, and Alex Staniforth is taking on the challenge. I always ask this, what's next? You're always saying challenges for yourself.
Well, to be honest, this has been a long time coming, a long time planning, and it's been really hard to stay motivated. You know, all of us have had goals and plans thrown up in the air, and it's easy to sit back and blame COVID, but we've got to keep moving forward. So I think this for me will be the highlight of the year. I had to set the date, otherwise it was never going to happen. I've just got to start and give it everything I can and know why I'm there. And then afterwards, be working on a third book, hopefully getting back to speaking events, which again, many of them have gone on Zoom and virtual now. And I think really then it will, when my body agrees to the idea of going on a run, I'll be making the most of the last of summer, and then let's see what happens next year.
Absolutely. I was going to ask you, do you think you'll enjoy the whole of the 9 days or however long that takes? When you set off and you start that first ascent, do you think, right, I can almost relax now because this is what I enjoy doing?
The hardest part will be the first step. Until that point, you know, the next week, I'll be honest, the week before a challenge is always awful because so much is going on. That's when the doubts and all the little niggles start to kick in. You ease off the training and you start worrying and things. I think once I start, there'll be a bit of a relief. The end of day one, I'll get an idea of actually I can do this, or this is harder than I thought. But I think there'll be moments, you know, the moments when you get support, when you see the difference you're making, when you get those outdoor places to yourself, running through Glencoe, watching the mountains opening up around me, and then knowing you're on that kind of finish straight, when you're on the adrenaline, when you're pushing yourself, you go into those places you've never been. That's when we really learn about ourselves. And I think that's where the fun starts. I think I'll suffer a lot, but these things aren't meant to be easy. But yeah, you just have to break it down a mile at a time, and literally just break it into stages.
With the work walk in the way, can people follow that on social media? Is that a place where people can follow your progress?
Yeah, I've got a live tracker on my website, so you can follow me in real time, see where I'm going. That's just my name, alexstaniforth.com, and there's a link on the Three Peaks Run on there. And then obviously on social media, I'll be posting lots throughout the journey as well.
There's going to be a great moment when you've climbed both Ben Nevis and Scarfell, and then you get the opportunity to walk through my hometown of Chorley. And I'm just going to think, I'll do my best to come down and say hello when you're doing that. But to imagine you've seen all of those incredible sights and know you've got more incredible sights to come. But in the meantime, you got to walk through Chorley.
And, you know, if I can get to Chorley, I can get anywhere. You know, it'll be fantastic. And it's the faces and the support, you know, on the way that will keep me going as well. I'm used to training on my own. You know, I've trained on my own through lockdown. I've been doing, you know, 5-6 hour, even like a 9 hour run, you know, and I'm able to do that. But for this, it's going to be having the support that will give me those little mini boosts. And then just that treat of Chorley to look forward to. This is what we need.
Absolutely. Alex, best of luck with the physical challenge you've got ahead of you and the ongoing mental challenges as well, which we've talked about. You get more details about Alex and his story as well in episode 10. We're going way, way back of Mental Health Monday as well. But it's an absolute pleasure to catch up with you. Hopefully we'll bump into each other on the road then. We reckon it'll be maybe next Thursday, but I'll make sure I've got you on the tracker.
Yeah, that sounds a plan, Nick. And obviously, you know, absolutely great to be back on the show, and thank you for having me.
Hey, not a problem at all. Alex Staniforth, an absolute pleasure. Good luck with everything as well. Alex's website, alexstaniforth.com. Search for Mind Over Mountains on the charity, but the website for the fundraising, givey.com. That's G-I-V-E-Y, givey.com/3peaksrun. Brilliant to get you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you've enjoyed this week's podcast. Thanks for checking out Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. You can find me on Twitter at Mr. Mick Coyle. You can also find me, Mick Coyle, on Facebook as well. Don't forget, if you want to speak to somebody about your mental health, you can do so. The Samaritans, free to call on 116 123. You can find mental health services where you are. Just look for the Hub of Hope. Type in your postcode. It'll find those mental health services close to you. And for support in a crisis, you can text SHOUT to 85258. That's if you're experiencing a personal crisis, you're unable to cope and need support. Shout to 85258. That's a text line. Do get involved in those services. In an absolute emergency, always remember the number to call is 999. Thanks for downloading the podcast this week. We'll be back next week with more Mental Health Monday.